I'm easy.
All right, we are here with Radney Foster. Thank you so much for sitting down and chatting with us as you doctor up your poor nails.
Yeah, I'm actually using crazy glue on one of my fingernails. So
is that a trick of the
Yeah, because I finger pick a lot. I mean, about, you know, not all of them, but I also, when I play solos, when I play lead guitar, I not only use my you know, flat pick, but I use the three leftover fingers as well. So I have to, you know, take care of them.
Yeah.
You know, and some guys even, you know, I know a lot of guys who just go get fake nails put on.
Really?
But just on those three fingers, on the, you know, their index, their bird finger, and their ring finger on their right hand. And because usually the, unless you're, you know, Tommy Emmanuel, who does crazy things that no one else can do with a guitar, mostly your pinky finger is just kind of a post you land on the on the face of your guitar to know
an accessory.
Well, so you know where the hell you are.
Yeah,
you know, it's a guide basically.
Well, while you doctor yourself up, let's talk about Charleston.
Okay.
So you make a point to come here a lot.
I do.
I saw you for the first time at Charleston Music Hall.
Oh,
about
yeah.
3 years ago.
More than that. About
was
four,
it?
Four or five, yeah.
Okay. And you had Mitchell Lee and some other local Charlestonians with you. So what is it about Charleston that you keep wanting to come back here and making sure this is always on your tour?
A couple of reasons, probably. Number one, my son's mom, my first wife, has a family home here.
Okay.
And so, you know, I had a long experience of coming here. And then when we were in Foster and Lloyd, we did really well here. And then because of Darius Rucker's crazy fandom, I met the guys in Hootie and the Blowfish and started hanging out with them and writing songs with them. And I love to fly fish and chase redfish with a fly rod. And it's beautiful down here. Mm-hmm. And then... I'm gonna turn that off.
You're in high demand.
That is my.
And one of those might actually be my text, so my apologies.
Yeah, I'm just gonna tell these guys. I don't care what you're trying to tell me. I want you to shut up. They're gone. So, you know, there's both personal reasons, but then also as, since I, put this book out, well, since my publisher, Working Title Farm, put the book out, the people at Buxton Books have been really, really great to me. And, I mean, they've sold a pile of my books and that's been sort of great. And so getting to know them, and I've done several author things in the last, you know, 15 months, year and a half, to in two different events in their bookstore. And this is actually the third event that I've done in their bookstore.
Oh, wow.
So it's been cool.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the book. So that is your most recent project, and it's For You to See the Stars.
Right.
Album book combo.
Right.
So...
10 short stories.
Yep.
To go with 10 songs. There's a short story that, and literally at the end of each short story in the book, it gives you the prompt to go listen to the particular song that, because the titles aren't necessarily all the same.
Yeah, exactly.
But if you go through the book and the CD, they're in the same batting order.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you want to think about it that way.
To continue the story.
Yeah, I mean, what it happens is the, and sometimes they're sisters. I mean, I think most of them are either an expansion of, or very few of them are sort of, the short stories are sort of a retelling of the song. Maybe just one or two. And then the other is, a good example is, there's a, the last song in the book and on the CD is a, is called Sycamore Creek. And the song is about, you know, 15 years of this couple's lives after high school. You know, I mean, it starts with them skinny dipping the summer after high school. You know, and then the short story is about their senior year of high school leading up to that. Mm-hmm. You know, so it ends with, you know, it's sort of the prequel, if you will.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
And it's really about three kids mm-hmm. rather than just two. And so that might be a good example mm-hmm. of, and the other is that, you know, there's a song, you know, that on the record called I'm Done With The Past, But It Ain't Done With Me. and so, you know, and it's really country. It's very, you know, sort of Waylon Jennings meets the Stones, ooh, rock and roll kind of yeah. thing, and was fun. But that lends itself to, you know, images. None of the images that you see in the song mm-hmm. are in the short story at all. Mm-hmm. The short story is about one night. It's a pub crawl with a retired spy in New Orleans. So, I mean, because who doesn't have regrets that they can't talk about or that their past might come back to haunt them
exactly.
but a retired spy, right? Because, you know, I have a couple of... And people are always like, how did you come up with that? It's like, I know a couple of guys who were in Special Forces
okay.
who are retired. And,
yeah.
you know, there's stuff that's like, I can't talk about that because it's classified information.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, it's well, like, if, oh, okay, never mind.
Exactly. You know? Well, if it happens in New Orleans, I think that you're not supposed to tell
yeah,
people.
Yeah, kind of, yeah, pretty
okay.
much. It's kind of, that was part of the whole, you know, the mm-hmm. thought process of going into it.
Okay. Now, it's not
autobiographical. Everyone
you.
Wants to know that. You know, I'll say this.
Okay.
You know, Sycamore Creek is about teenagers playing in bands and singing in church in the late 1970s in a small town in West Texas. I have no idea why I would know anything about that.
Or who that could be about.
Who that could be, yeah. yeah. Now, do I take poetic license? Of course I do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like there's a line in a song I wrote many, many, many moons ago that... He told some tales. No, we told some tales. He told them best. Mm-hmm. Real life can always use a good stretch. I mean, you know, it's
ain't
like
that the truth.
Yeah, right. You know, it's like why let the truth get in the way of a good story?
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, you do write what you know. I mean, there's a story I'm going to read tonight. It's the one that I actually read like three little excerpts before I do certain songs
okay.
during the set, and it's a paragraph. You know, it's just
mm-hmm.
a little teaser. And then, but I actually will sit down and read an edited down version of the entire story of one story and then do the song that goes with it. And that one you really see is like, oh, I so get it, you know.
Yeah.
And it's about one day in the life of a four-year-old boy in 1963. I don't know why I know anything about being 4 years old in 1963, but there you go.
So, do you foresee yourself doing anything like this in the future? Like,
yeah, I've already started work on a novel.
Okay.
I'm several chapters in, but I have been slowed down. It's a historic novel. Historic. I mean, it's you know set in a particular time period, and so I realized I. After I started writing that I had not done near enough research. So, I've been very slow in the writing of it, but I have been researching my ass off for the last 6 months.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because it's easier to do the researching from the road than it is for me to write from the road.
Why is that?
The cacophony of going from hotel room to highway and,
okay.
you know, and not being able to sit still long enough to wrap your head around it. But
mm-hmm.
if you know where you want to go with things and sketching out outlines and you go, oh, well, I need to know a whole lot more about what life was like in that place in that time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing how much librarians are incredibly helpful people.
Yeah.
You know,
if
you call
them
up. Oh, no, yeah. They're thrilled to talk to you.
How many librarians do you have just on call?
Just two or three.
Okay.
But I found them by hook or crook, you know.
Oh, okay.
Like I was basically, okay, who would know about this, you know. But
mm-hmm.
if you call the university librarian, they get all excited to talk to you.
Oh, I bet.
Know? So.
So, musician, author, and an actor.
Yeah.
You've also.
Yeah, I was in a small part in an independent film last year. It's a really heavy subject matter, but it's a really good film called Beauty Mark. Mm-hmm. And I was really proud to be a part of that film. I think it's a really strong message, and it's really about a woman trying to, you know, take control of her life after the chaos that sexual trauma caused from when she was a child, mm-hmm. you know, and get a handle on it, you know. And so that's it was a neat deal. But then in addition to that, I was the lead in a brand new musical that was written by Christian Bush from the mm-hmm. band Sugarland,
yeah.
and that debuted at the Alliance Theater, which is a Tony Award-winning equity theater in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's a pretty heavy heavy hit for your professional theatrical debut. You know?
Yeah.
Not that I hadn't been on stage before. I just mm-hmm. not where anybody's paying me to be on it. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, sir. Hey, brother. I'm